third Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Praise God. Last week we talked about staying with it. And what I'd like to encourage the listeners today is I'd like to encourage their hearts to know that if they do their part and stay with it, persevere, endure, hold on to God's unchanging hand, I'd like to encourage them what God will do for them. And I'd like to talk about by any means necessary, God will deliver you. God will show up for you. God will come through for you. And if it takes a miracle, if it takes a wonder, God, this is a small thing for God. God is the one who works miracles. He's an awesome God. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 13:5, he promises that he will never, ever leave us, nor will he forsake us. God will deliver you regardless to how improbable your victory might seem by any means necessary. When you talk about by any means necessary, when people get to that, when they are quoting that, they're saying that I am going to achieve what my objective is no matter what. And that is the way God is about his people, that he's going to deliver you and he's going to make a way for you and he's going to come through for you no matter what, by any means necessary.
Even if he has to move people out of your life.
Move them out of your life.
He's going to move them out of your life. Even if he has to put you in the solitary confinement to keep you still, that's what he's going to do. By any means necessary. Because the word says, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for your life. He said they're good. They're not evil. They'll get there to give you a future and an expected end. He has an expected, it's not your expected end, it's his expected end. And if he called you, he justify you, and your purpose is to glorify him. So whatever it takes to get you to that place that you need to be, that's exactly what he's going to do.
And let's just rehearse some of the wonders of God throughout the scripture, some of the things that he did that were most improbable, most unlikely, most impossible, but he did the improbable. He did the impossible. He moved the immovable. I mean, do you remember in Joshua when the sun stood still at Joshua's command?
He said, just give me a little bit more time.
When did a man ever command the sun that God placed up in the universe? But at Joshua's command, sun stood still because he needed a little more time.
Oh, my goodness. And even when the people of Israel were complaining because they didn't have any water, the Lord told Moses to strike the rock. And what came out was water out of a rock. And there is a song, I believe, that was made, old time song, that says he'll cause water to come out of a rock.
And then what about the one that most people will be very familiar with because we watched it in the movie, when God miraculously parted the Red Sea? And he didn't just part the Red Sea for his people, but they went through on dry ground. And then Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the sea when they tried to follow. That lets me know, LJ Renee, that God will make a way for you that your enemies can't follow through. I mean, when God makes a way, it's just for you. When God opens up a door, it's just for you. People trying to come in on your coattails, they can't get through. Your enemy trying to follow you, he can't make it through. When God does this thing, he does it well.
And you know what about it is that the Bible says that after the Israelites crossed over on dry land and the enemy came after him, that's when the water came back down over and swallowed up your enemies. God has got a plan.
Isn't
for
that
you.
When they struck out a song?
Yes. Marion took that tambourine and began to start beating on it. She was a prophetess, and all the other women began to sing about the miracles and the wonders of God. But what happened? happened was is that the even when the enemy is trying to chase, when they're chasing after you, God can have a plan where he will swallow up your enemies. And just like he told Moses, he said, your enemies, he said, the Egyptians, he said, you won't see them no more. I remember that the Lord told me that as well. He said, those that come against you, he said, you won't see them no more. Not, they didn't die, but I don't have to deal with them anymore because he's already taken care of them. He's already built a wall up between me and them. And then there's another one that says that he would cause the dead was raised to life. And if you look in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about the hall of faith. And he gives a list of all the things that the people had done as a result of their faith. And one of them is that the women received their sons that were dead. They received them back to life. God will do whatever he has to do to make sure that his will is done.
Look at Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus, whom Jesus loved. I mean, think about it. When Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus and said, your servant, I mean, the one you love, he's sick. Won't you come and see about him? The Bible says Jesus on purpose delayed his coming because he had a desired end for this situation. And when he came, Lazarus had already died, but Jesus wasn't worried because this is the resurrection and this is the life. Oh. This is the power that causes men from the dead. He wasn't worried about it. They were worried. They said, our brother stinks. You might as well leave it alone. You should have came when we called you. And isn't that how we get LJ Renee? I love God and I'm trusting him. And I only got 4 days until the bill is due, but I'm going to pray and hold on. And on the fourth day when he didn't show up, you didn't gave up hope because he didn't show up. And you think this thing is past fixing. The thing I like about God is he does the most improbable and impossible. It doesn't have to be in your deadline. He comes when the body is laying in the grave and the corpse is stinking. He comes when you're mourning and crying because you think it's too late. I mean, it doesn't matter what time he comes. When he shows up, he's always on time. I like what I read from Dr. James Dobson. He says, God's timing is perfect when he appears catastrophically late.
Oh, that is, I'm telling you, that is powerful. And I was even thinking about it when you were mentioning Lazarus, but you know, on the way to Lazarus, he did other things. You know what I'm saying? He was healing folks. He was preaching the word. And that's one of the reasons why they said, you know, if you had been here, because he was delayed, he said, listen,
but you know, even when they said it, that was like scolding Jesus.
That's right.
If you would have came when we called you, would have just adhered to what we asked you
to
come.
On you.
We told you in enough. Because you know, sometimes people say, why didn't you come to my party? You said, well, you didn't tell me in time. No, we called you in time. We sent notice with enough time for you to get here. If you had only come when we called you.
Listen, and he also said, he told the disciples, he said, Lazarus is asleep.
Yeah, they didn't quite. They said, maybe he doesn't understand.
Maybe he don't understand. But right now, even in the radio, someone is thinking that God is not coming, but listen, he's gonna resurrect that thing.
Hallelujah.
It's just sleeping right now. It's a little dormant.
It looks dead though.
It looks dead.
And it stinks.
It looks like this. And I remember saying this in the time of discouragement. And I remember I said, you know what it's like? This is another vision that I will toss into the valley of dry bones because things weren't working the way I thought it should work. So I said, well, listen, I'll just toss that. That's another one in the valley of dry bones. But I come to tell you that even if it's tossed in the valley of dry bones, that God can breathe a breath of life in it. And the Bible says that those bones came together.
And
the vision stood up and bone came to bone. And he said, but then what was needed, it had to come to life.
Blow
and the
wind,
only
blow.
Way that it came to life is when God blew the breath of life in it. So it might look like your vision is asleep. It might look like it's even dead, but hold on. God's got a plan.
And isn't that amazing that our God is awesome? I mean, he can move mountains. He can keep you in the valley and hide you from the rain. I mean, he can do it whether you're in the valley, on the mountain. He's so awesome. He can heal you when you're broken. He'll give strength when you are weak, and he will forever reign. Our God is awesome.
Yes. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Give strength where I've been weak. forever he will reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say,
awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Yes, I love that song. My God is awesome. He can do anything. My God, he can, like I said, he can move mountains. There is nothing impossible for him to do. If you think about it, that everything is under the control of God's hand and God's voice. So if he wants to move something, he's able to do it. If something's out of place, he'll put it back in place. If something seems to be delayed, he will speed up the time. If you're moving too fast, he will hold
you down.
You back. Oh my God, if you sound like you're heavy laden and burdened down, he will give you a new song to sing. My God is awesome, and there is nothing that he cannot do.
Hallelujah. The Hebrew boys, let's keep on reminiscing about the wonders of God.
Yes.
The Hebrew boys thrown into the fiery furnace just because they chose to serve in God and remain faithful to their promise before God. So they got thrown into the fiery furnace. They refused to bow their knee to an idol God. But even in that, you know, some of us would have been recanting and pulling back. Doesn't that remind you of Miriam, the lady over in Sudan who just recently was delivered? When they threatened her with her life, told her she would never see the light of day, told her she was going to die in that jail, told her they were going to kill her. Even her own family had turned against her. And even when God impossibly delivered her out of that situation, on the interview, they said, Miriam, why didn't you just curse the Lord? Even though you didn't believe it, why didn't you just say it so you could get out and be with your children and husband? She said, when you have been through what I have been through, when you have served only the Lord all the days of your life, there is no cursing God. There is no turning your back on the Lord. And then she said these words, Luana, that caused my heart to rejoice. She said, I knew God would deliver me. And isn't that what the Hebrew boys said? They said, our God is able. And they even went a step further. They said, and if he chooses not to deliver us, we know he is still able.
Yes, he is. And then that leads us to Elijah, where he pronounced a drought upon the land, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Now that's power that God had given Elijah. And that Elijah trusted God that whatever he said, that was what he was going to do. And I remember in between the time that the rain was held up and the time that it began to rain, there was something that went on in the middle. Elijah challenged the children of Israel because they had turned away from God. They began to start serving other gods, and he put a challenge to them. He said, if Baal be God, serve Baal.
Him.
He said, but if Yahweh Yahweh, if Jehovah be God, he said, serve him.
He said, let's see what God will answer.
He said, let's see what God is going to answer. And therein was the miracle. Therein was the time when the people were able to see the greatness of God, that they began to turn their hearts to God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the act was so powerful that the children of Israel that had turned away from God and was serving another God, they fell on their face, hit the ground and says, God is God, and in him we will serve. And I believe that's what God wants to show in us. When he's made us a promise and it seems to be delayed, there is a witness that has to come out of this whole situation that people will know and say, your God is God. I believe that.
And again, even with Elijah, many miracles God did through him. But one of the ones that God did in 1 Kings 17, when God told Elijah, he said, go to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow woman. There was famine in the land. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you when you get there. Now, first of all, the improbability of this situation is there's a famine in the land, and God is sending him to a widow woman that doesn't have too much herself. And when he gets there, God has began speaking to that woman, just like he said. He says, I've already commanded her. So he had to work on the woman. And the woman, when he gets there, she tells Elijah, she says, I don't have that much left. I was just going to take this little bit of meal that I have, and I was going to bake a cake for me and my son, and we were going to eat it and die. And Elijah, you know what I like about Elijah? He said, yeah, no, that's all okay. That's all good and fine. But, you know, just serve me my portion first. He said, just serve me my portion first, because he knew what God would do when you are obedient to God, because he had been obedient to God all of his life, and he had watched God do the improbable and the miraculous. And we know even from the story there in 1 Kings 17 that God allowed that woman's cruse to never run empty, and he allowed her to never run out of meal. She never ran out of anything. She had all that she needed to feed her family and the man of God.
And see, that brings us to even to the part where manna fell from the sky to feed God's people. Remember when they were hungry?
Manna, what is this?
What is this? It fell to the ground. Said, what is this? And he gave instructions that according to the families, you're only supposed to take so much. And not only that, but he fed them every day. And I just believe that there's some things that are going on in your life today that God is feeding you. God's going to make sure that you have what you need. Even if you look back over your life, and we got to do that often, and we'll realize how God has taken care of us, how he has supplied our every need, and how even the miraculous happened. When you thought you didn't have the money to pay the bill, all of a sudden someone was putting it in your hand, or your account ended up being more than what you thought it was, or when you were about ready to run out of gas, that you were able to get to the gas station and get a fill up. And God's going to do whatever he has to do to get you to the place where he has for you to go.
And what about in Numbers, when Balaam was trying to curse the people, had been instructed to curse the people of God? And this is the encouragement for the people of God today, is that even when your enemies rise up against you, even when they form alliances against you, even when they come to curse you and to do you evil, there comes a time when God will not allow anything they do to prosper, when God will turn their cursings into blessings, when God will make their work come to naught, when God will stay the hand of your adversary even in the midst of them trying to curse you. As the words are coming out of their mouth and they're intending it to be one thing, God will turn it around.
Yes, he will.
And he'll make the cursing a blessing, and those that meant to curse you will be the very ones that end up blessing you. Even your enemies shall be a blessing to you.
And I'm mindful of that when you were talking about your enemies. I remember when the issue of Jehoshaphat, when the enemy was railing against him, when he was telling them, your God can't deliver. Who do you think you are? We've already taken over all other nations. What make you think your God is going to deliver you? And Jehoshaphat went to God with the letter and said, Lord, do you see what they're saying about us? And God said, listen, be still and know that I am God. He said, listen, he said, don't worry about it. Your enemies will be that they will be no more. And what happened? God sent the spirit of confusion down in that valley.
Jehoshaphat led his people collectively in prayer, and he said, Lord,
we don't know what to do.
To come to the place where we say, Lord, I don't know what
Absolutely.
To do, but my eyes eyes are upon you. Get your eyes off of the situation. Get your eyes off of your own strength. Get your eyes off of the government. The government can't help you. Get your eyes off of your friends when they can't help you. Your eyes need to be upon the Lord. All of my help comes from the Lord. Jehoshaphat said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
My God. You know, and the thing about it is he took that letter and he put it before the Lord. And listen, some of you have gotten a letter that's railing against you, saying, we're going to come take your house. We're going to come take your car. You owe us some more money. And if you don't pay it, you know, some of the times when the bill collectors, they're calling you and they're threatening you, saying, I'm rude. And they come into your house. Hold that letter up unto the Lord and say, Lord, do you hear their threatenings? Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. And the Bible says this is what happened, that when they stood still and they began to praise the Lord, I believe he sent the spirit of confusion among the enemies. When they thought something's going on, they began to start fighting against one another. And before the whole day was over, they looked to see, because they were going out to the battle.
Isn't that what happens when dissension hits the camp? You start fighting one another. The battle won. Your enemy had the battle won, but God sent a spirit of confusion.
Oh my goodness. And they go and see the battle. And when they look, they say, what's going on? And down in the valley, they saw all their enemies dead and laid.
And that's why the scripture says we are more than conquerors.
Yes.
See, a conqueror got to go to the battle and fight to win the spoil. But those that are more than conquerors, you're going to win stuff that you didn't fight for. You're going to take the spoil that you didn't have to war over. You're going to be more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Through Christ. I'm not going to have to fight in this battle. This battle belongs to God.
That's
but the spoil is going to belong to you.
Me. That's right. And all they had to do was go down there and collect the spoil. They said they had so much. I know they had to keep coming back, picking up the spoil from their enemy. And I pray that even when the enemy come against you, that God's going to fight your battles and you're not going to have to worry about a thing. Because when that collector, the next time he's going to call, he's going to say, sister so-and-so, your bill has been paid. We had no business calling you, so we're sorry. Whatever it's going to take, the enemy is going to turn back around
necessary.
And testify that God is great. They may not say it in their own words, God is great, but you're going to know that God was the one that delivered. He can take you through the valley. And he can put you up on the mountain.
Hallelujah.
Because he is God. And when he talk about the giver of salvation, salvation don't only mean that when I come to the Lord and I'm saved, but salvation means deliverance.
He
means that I'm healed. It means that when the enemy come against me, that he's going to battle that enemy. It means deliverance, that he is going to provide for us. So,
and he's going to do it by any means necessary.
And he's going to do it by any means necessary.
Don't you be discouraged and don't you be afraid.
Man.
Even Gideon, you know, lastly, let's talk about Gideon. Even Gideon, when he was going before and when God had called him to go out to battle, he said, Lord, you know, he was a little fearful, and that's okay, because he took it to God in prayer.
Yeah.
He said, Lord,
if this
is you,
yes.
I mean, haven't you ever felt like that? God is asking you to do some things that just are not, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Lord, if this is you, and he put a fleece before the Lord, why don't you make the ground wet and then make the fleece dry, and let's flip this thing, make the fleece wet in the grass. I mean, he just kept fleecing the Lord. But the thing is, God was kind and merciful enough to respond to his fleece, because he knew his heart. And God let him know emphatically that this is me, and I want you to do this thing. And I want to say to those that are listening today that perhaps the Lord is sending confirmation to you this morning that this is him that has called you to do what he has called you to do, that which you have been wrestling with in your spirit night and day for weeks upon weeks. This is God that has called you to do this thing. And how about you turn around now and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it. God, I don't even think in myself I can accomplish it, but my eyes are upon you. Thank God for sending confirmation that he wants to do the improbable. He wants to do the impossible, and he will do it by any means necessary.
And we're talking about the call. God has placed a call on your life. And on the contrary, we're going to talk about Jonah. When the Lord had given him a mission to go to a group of people that Jonah despised. And he said, I ain't going to preach the gospel because I'm afraid that they will be saved. There's a call on your life, and you are running running from it right now. But it says in Jonah, it says Jonah was swallowed by a whale and was vomited up alive after 3 days in its belly. Some of you are running right now from the call of God, but God, by any means necessary,
he's going to get you.
Oh, he's going.
That's why the scripture says he will. The scripture says he works in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Look, I didn't want to do it when he called me, but when he gets done with you, you'll be happy to do what he called you to do. You'll say, and you forget that it was his idea. He'll make you think it was your idea. He worked it out in you so that you think this was your good idea. No, this wasn't your idea. You didn't even want to do it. But when God gets done with you, he'll put in you the desire to accomplish the will that he called you to do. Even Paul said, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. I'm seeking after that cause for which Christ has arrested my life, and I'm going to pursue it with all of my might. God has relentlessly pursued me, and may I relentlessly pursue God
by any means
necessary.
When I think about even Jonah, and he was on that boat trying to get away, and the storm came up and the people didn't understand why, and they realized it must have been a strange thing. Jonah was getting ready to just lay in the bottom of that boat and just keep on going, but he came upstairs and said, listen,
they had to cast lots. They rolling dice. Who is the one? Because, you know, whoever it is got to go overboard and probably die. So they no one wanted it to be me, right? You know, they didn't want it to be them. They cast in lots, and the lot fell. Even through the most improbable way of them finding out, the lot still fell upon Jonah.
He said, listen, it's me. Just toss me over.
Throw
me over. And even at that, God knew what was going to happen, that he commanded. That's why we say, God, there is nothing and no one that God cannot influence and touch according to his will. Yes, he did speak to that whale.
That was so improbable that some people can't even believe it.
And people don't even believe it. But in the New Testament, he says, as it were, when
Jonah was in the belly of the fish.
Oh, he even likened it unto Christ. He says, in 3 days, he would be in the earth, but he would come up again. And so, therefore, he's going to make sure that that call that he's placed on your life, you may run, but you sure can't hide.
Hallelujah.
He's going to send something to come get you. And before it's all over, you're going to say, it's me.
And you are going to
answer the call that God has placed upon your life, because these are the what we call the days in which he's calling his prophets and his preachers and teachers and apostles and pastors to rise up and go forth and speak truth. You can't hide. You were born for such a time as this, and whatever it takes to get you on that right path. Oh my God, you might be in a gutter. You might be battling in drugs, but know that God got a day for you, and you're going to answer the call.
Hallelujah. Dear God, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify your name. There is no God like Jehovah. You are awesome and wonderful and mighty and miraculous. Oh God, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You're the savior of the whole world, the giver of salvation. By your stripes, we are healed. Today, we are forgiven. Your grace is why we are living. We praise your holy name.
God.
You are wonderful, God. And we thank you, dear God. And Father, forgive us for having run from you. Forgive us for having thought, God, that we could say no to your will. Forgive us for having been disobedient and obstinate, God. But we thank you for
strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.